As I mentioned before at the beginning of the service, we're in a series of sermons on the fruit of the Spirit. And the first Sunday that we were together, Amy was helping us to think in terms of a practice and a prayer, and she encouraged everyone to memorize the fruit of the Spirit. And then Uchenna last week led us in reciting that together. We're going to do it again just now, and in his prayer, he kind of gave you a little tip as to what it's going to be, so I encourage you to join along as we try to say it. And last week, Uchenna talked about the love, the first fruit of the Spirit. But do you remember what the fruit of the Spirit is? The fruit of the Spirit is love, let's say it with me, joy, peace, patience, kindness, forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. I really encourage you to memorize that passage of Scripture and to put it into your hearts. But today, after on the heels of what Uchenna shared with us last week about love, we're going to be looking at the second fruit, joy. And the passage of Scripture that will frame our conversation and that we'll dig down deeper into is John chapter 15, verses 5 through 11. If you brought a Bible with you, have one at home, or you can look at it on the screens on the sides. John 15, beginning in verse 5. I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. May God bless to us this reading and hearing of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Father in heaven, as we make our way through the fruit of the Spirit and consider this next fruit that is listed in the order in Scripture, as we think about joy and what the Bible has to say about joy, and as we think about our own lives and the ways in which oftentimes joy seems to be elusive, and as we think about our world that is such a place of despair all too often because of the problems that exist, we pray that the joy of Christ might come into us and that you would fill my mouth and our hearts and minds with what it is that you want us to concentrate on and thinking about these truths. We thank you for the joy that we can experience in Christ, and we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to understand what you have to say. May yours be the loudest voice that is heard in this room and in our hearts. And we'll thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Think of a time in your life when you experienced joy. What's the most joyful day you can remember? Maybe it was when you made the team, or you received your acceptance to college. Or perhaps it was the day that he asked, "Will you marry me?" Or she replied, "Yes," and your heart skipped a beat. Or maybe it was when your first child was born, and the sight of that newborn just filled your eyes with tears of joy. Or perhaps it was the first time you saw something that took your breath away, like the Grand Canyon or the Yosemite National Park or a beautiful sunrise or sunset. What about this past year? Can you identify a day when you experienced joy even during the pandemic? Joy may have been hard to come by during COVID-19. Without a doubt, the most joyous day for me during the pandemic was last spring on May the 24th when Cindy and I were married in the chapel of our church, and many of you joined on the live stream of our ceremony. After all that Cindy and I have been through in losing our spouses before, to find love like this again at our age is something that is beyond our imagination or our dreaming. It has brought so much joy. God is so good. C.S. Lewis once said that joy is the serious business of heaven. I like that thought. But I would also suggest to you that joy is the serious business of earth for the followers of Jesus Christ as well. You see, God wants us to experience joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But why are there so few of us that experience joy these days? Why do we struggle to be joyful at times? And where can we find joy today? That's what I want to talk about this morning. Over the course of our time together, there are four things I want to mention. I want to talk about the gift of joy. I want to talk about Jesus' teaching on joy. I want to talk about when you can experience joy. And then finally, the way in which joy is actually a choice. First of all, the gift of joy. Joy is an amazing gift, isn't it? It's present. When it's present, our lives are richer. When it's absent, there is an emptiness, a void in our souls. Joy is a rather complex subject, and in some ways, it's hard to find. But once you've experienced it, once you've tasted its fruit, there's a longing in your heart that wants to know and experience it again and again for the rest of your life. We often confuse joy with happiness, its cousin. It's easy to do. They resemble one another outwardly, but happiness comes from the root word, hap, which means chance. Good things might happen to you which bring happiness, but it's really a matter of chance. Happiness is something that the world can provide, but which life can also take away or completely destroy. Christian joy is different. It expresses itself in a feeling, but it's often deeper than a feeling. It's like knowing a secret. There's a deep gladness. It's a delight. It's a great contentment. And there's something about joy which is beyond outward circumstances and even beyond our feelings. There is a delight. And joy provides a reservoir for our hearts. And a river just keeps on flowing. It never ceases. C.S. Lewis was fascinated by the idea of joy, and he entitled his autobiography, which detailed his conversion from atheism to Christianity, Surprised by Joy. Listen to what he writes. In a sense, the central story of my life is about nothing else. It is that of an unsatisfied desire, which is itself more desirable than any other satisfaction. I call it joy, which is here a technical term and must be sharply distinguished both from happiness and from pleasure. Joy, in my sense, has indeed one characteristic and only one in common with them, the fact that anyone who has experienced it will want it again. Apart from that and considered only in its quality, it might almost equally well be called a particular kind of unhappiness or grief, but that is a kind of want. I doubt whether anyone who has tasted it would ever, if both were in his power, exchange it for all the pleasures in the world. But then joy is never in our power, and pleasure often is. Joy is a delight. It runs deeper than pleasure or pain. And from a biblical perspective, it is not limited by nor tied solely to external circumstances. Joy is, in fact, a gift from God. And like all his other inner gifts, it can be experienced even in the midst of difficult circumstances. And I'll give you an example, and it has to do with the teaching of Jesus. And that's the second thing I want to talk about this morning. When Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room the night before his death, he spoke to them about joy. I think it caught them by surprise, as joy often does. Jesus told the disciples of his impending separation from them, and he tried to prepare them for the horror of his trial and his death and all the devastation and disappointment that would result the next day. Nevertheless, it was into this dangerous moment that Jesus told them about joy. In John 15, we have read together where Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, in this passage, we see that the love of God in Christ and the joy of Jesus, which he offers, that we can experience in him, are somehow tied together. There's a link. There's a link between abiding in Christ, living in alignment with the will of God, and our experience of joy. Using a metaphor, Jesus explained that just as a branch needs to remain connected in a vital way to a vine in order to live and to become fruitful, so his disciples need to stay connected to Jesus. If you and I don't maintain a vital connection with Christ, if we don't live in a way that pleases God, then we shouldn't be surprised if joy is somehow elusive. Instead, we will live at the mercy of our circumstances, and we will be on a constant roller coaster of up and down, depending upon what's going on, and we will find it difficult to discover a spiritual equilibrium. The title of my sermon, you may have noticed, is entitled Joy in an Age of Despair. Some of you may wonder, how can we rejoice when there are so many problems in the world, when there are so many tears of brokenness? How can we talk about joy when there is so much suffering and when so many people have died at the hands of this terrible virus, COVID-19? Is there really such a thing as joy in an age of despair? The answer is yes. When we look at what Jesus said to his disciples here in the upper room, we find that joy isn't just some high-octane happiness. It isn't happiness on steroids, and it isn't some kind of opiate intended to keep people from caring about what's wrong with the world. Instead, biblical joy, the joy that we read about in the Bible, the joy that Jesus talks about here in this passage, is a defiant, refusing to give up, stubborn confidence that the God of the universe is working to put all things to rights, which results in a settled state of mind and heart that is sometimes emotional and at other times simply peaceful. And it comes from abiding in Christ. Do you know that kind of joy? Have you experienced the joy that Jesus talks about in this passage? You can, and it begins with Christ and having a relationship with him. Well, when can we experience joy? That's the third thing I want to talk about. At the beginning of my sermon, I asked you to think of a time in your life when you experienced joy. What if I were to suggest to you that the most joyful day of your life can be the one that you're living right now? And it's not because your life is problem-free, and it's not because you're watching this live stream from a pristine beach somewhere, but it's because this day is the only one that you and I have got. Every other day that we have lived, as good as the memories may be, those days are gone, and we'll never get them back. Today is the only day that you and I have got to find joy. My friend Brian Dunnigan says that there are people who obsess over something that happened in the past, and they have a difficulty finding joy today as a result. It may be something that happened that was really, really great, or it may have been something that happened that was awful, but they focus on it in an inordinate way, and it tends to dominate their lives. Other people spend their times waiting for something to happen, and they think that just around the corner, joy is going to be coming. They think, if I can only get that job, or make that sale, or marry that right person, or buy that house, then my life will be filled with joy. But friends, this day, the one that you and I are living right now, this is the one that you have at this moment. And if you're going to experience God's joy, then it's got to be today. Psalm 118 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Notice that the psalmist doesn't say, yesterday is the day that the Lord made, or tomorrow is going to be the day that the Lord will make. No, today is the day. The one day that God has given you to find joy in Him is today. And it's the day that we're living right now. Do you know who gets this better than anyone else? Our children and our grandchildren. Cindy and I were visiting my son Jason and his family a couple of weeks ago, and we got to spend time with two of my granddaughters, Millie, who's 5, and Lucy, who's 3. They call me Papa Pete. They call Cindy Luhu. Cindy Woohoo, will you come and co-op with me? For my 3-year-old granddaughter Lucy, the greatest day is always today. She doesn't reminisce about the vacation that her family took over a year ago. She's not all that concerned about the days ahead when things might calm down and this pandemic is over. Her favorite day is always today. I want some more of that perspective in my own life, don't you? Every moment that we have is a gift from God, and today is the only day that we really have, friends. And this is the day that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And I encourage you, sometime later on today, here's the practice I would recommend. I want you to find a way to experience joy. Today, think about calling a loved one or a friend. Or maybe celebrate with your kids a little happy dance and have a dance party. Or maybe go to Rinalda Gardens and take a walk and enjoy the great outdoors. Or maybe you might want to look through some old photographs and just think about all the special people that God has placed in your life, the wonderful experiences that you've enjoyed. Find some joy and do it today. The fourth and final thing I want to talk about is the way in which joy is actually a choice. The Christian life, you see, isn't merely a summons to become a moral person. And it isn't just a call to duty. Rather, the Christian life is an invitation to enter into the joy of God Himself through the relationship with Jesus Christ in the power of His Holy Spirit, so that you can experience intimacy with the One who is joy itself. Our obedience to Jesus and our experience of His joy will come as a result of having a personal relationship with the Lord and delighting in who God is. That's where joy will be found. God wants to give us the joy of intimacy with Him and to experience the fullness of His grace. And sadly, too many Christians act like they have been baptized in lemon juice. If they have the joy of the Lord in their hearts, their faces haven't gotten the message. In many ways, I really do think joy is a choice. Either we choose to surrender our hearts to Jesus and claim His joy in our lives by abiding in Him, or we choose disobedience to God's word and we forfeit this precious gift. And if we're living in a way that we know is contrary to what the Bible tells us, then we will lack joy. It's as simple as that. Joy can be ours even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Regardless of what is happening around us or even to us, our hearts can still know the joy of Christ. In talking to His disciples at the Last Supper, Jesus went on to say, "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Now is your time for grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Scripture also says that for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross, despising, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The calling of our Lord is to choose joy, even on the difficult days, even in the hard circumstances. Jesus did that and invites His followers to do the same. As we close this morning, I want to tell you the story of a person who is able to do just this. Her name is Barbara Johnson, and she's a very funny lady. She's been described as the Irma Bombeck of the Christian world. Listen to some of the titles of her books: Splashes of Joy in the Cesspools of Life, Stick a Geranium in Your Hat and Be Happy, and Fresh Elastic for Stretched Out Moms. I really like that one. She brought joy to thousands of people through her books and through her talks at many women's conferences around the country before she died a few years ago. Life was not all that easy for Barb. Many years ago, she felt anything but joyful. In March of 1968, her second oldest son, Steve, joined the Marines and headed off to Vietnam. At the end of July, Steve's entire company of 65 men were killed. 2 years later, her husband, Bill, lay on the side of a road after a terrible car accident with severe brain damage and virtually blind. The doctors predicted that he was going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life. After 2 years of intense therapy, many prayers, and a lot of laughter, he recovered and went back to work as a mechanical engineer. But then Tim, her oldest son, was killed by a drunk driver when he was traveling back from vacation in Alaska. And Barb herself developed adult onset diabetes. Despite these setbacks and despite the incredible losses, Barbara Johnson chose to walk with Christ and she chose joy. Listen to what she wrote. "Sometimes I meet people who think I'm a little too joyful, that I'm ducking reality and ignoring the painful facts of life. But I simply tell them I'm not ignoring the facts. I'm just looking at them and trying to find joy, not misery. Pain is inevitable, but misery is optional. Every day is so precious, we have no time to waste. Some days may bring pain, but we always have a choice between misery and joy. And the secret is to live one day at a time and to make the right choices as you go along." Barb was a follower of Christ, and she chose joy. Wherever you find yourself today, choose joy as well. Biblical joy comes from the presence of Jesus Christ. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that the key to experiencing joy in life, in the Christian life, is Him. It involves abiding in Christ. Thomas Merton said, "How does an apple ripen? It sits in the sun." And that's how a Christian grows too. If we're going to be fruitful, if we're going to produce the kind of joyful life for which we have been made, then we must remain in Christ, be attached to Him, abide with Him. How will you abide in Christ today? You know, joy isn't an elective in the Christian life. In fact, it is emphatically commanded in Scripture: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it, rejoice. If you're waiting for the circumstances of your life to settle down to bring your joy, if you're waiting for this pandemic to be over before you experience God's joy, you're never going to experience the joy that Jesus talked about here in John 15. Joy begins today, and it starts with Jesus. So don't postpone joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit you and I can experience today. Choose Jesus and choose joy. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are grateful for these strong and precious words of Jesus in the upper room to His disciples. Words spoken 2,000 years ago that are as relevant as anything that could be spoken today. I pray for every person here this morning who is struggling to find joy. Whatever hardship has come their way, whatever burden they carry, May they look to you and abide in Christ and align with your will and experience your joy. Help us, Lord, to put into practice what we've heard today and to pursue that life of being a joyful follower of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Spirit who can turn our mourning into joy. In the name of Christ we pray, and all God's people said,